Hello, everybody. I'm Tom Dorsey.
And I'm Sarah Maley.
September 26, 2018. My wing woman.
Got my wing today.
That's right. You got your wings today. What we do, what I do, I always have done this. Once you get to a point where you have arrived here at Dorsey Wright & Associates, and you know what you're doing, and you've been out and you've spoken in front of a group, I give you a set of wings, which are my balloon wings. You see my shirt today,
yeah.
As a matter of fact. The shirt is wings, and it's got a green balloon in the middle. My balloon used to be green, and the wings attached. And it's kind of like the rite of passage here at DWA. And you got yours today.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it.
Now put it on a jacket.
Yeah, I will.
Put it on something cool. Now, we had a discussion before we started this, and I want to hear about your trip to New York City. This was your first time to New York City, and you had a great time, but you learned some interesting things about new companies that are going on there, and that intoxicates me. It makes me think about our business and what could be done with our business to make it unique and fresh and you know, more modern, would you say?
Yeah, like you said, I went to New York City this weekend, half kind of personal, and then half I got to work out of our the NASDAQ One Liberty Plaza office, which was such a cool opportunity.
Now, you know, like I mentioned, One Liberty Plaza was where I started in this business back in 1975, training school at Merrill Lynch. Merrill Lynch owned One Liberty Plaza. Now NASDAQ owns it, and that's where I took my Series 7.
Full circle. If you would have asked
me
10 years ago if I would have ever been working, you know, working in the financial district of, you know, New York, I probably would have laughed at you.
Yeah, but man, you have come so far. It's unbelievable.
So crazy.
That is a time. I'll just tell you the story because we have a chance to do this. Is we were sitting in class, and they posted the grades, and you had a pass and a fail. You didn't get any grade how well you did. It was pass or fail. And they posted our grades out there. Well, this was back in the day before you took it on computers. We took it for a whole day on Saturday, morning session and afternoon session. And then you have a whole week left before they grade the Series 7. And then, so it's different. Today you press a button and you get your answer right away.
Yeah.
But back then, I remember going out and we just busted out of the room. We couldn't take it any longer. We went out and looked at the thing and I looked up at my name and I saw a P by my name. And my life changed so dramatically. All of a sudden, I'm thinking about, if you understood my story of dyslexia and how I had a difficult time in school, here I was registered with the New York Stock Exchange now. And I mean, this was the most unique, the greatest thing that could have ever happened to a kid like me. And boy, I just walked up and down the halls. I couldn't believe that I was actually a stockbroker registered with the New York Stock Exchange and working at Merrill Lynch, Pierce Fenner, and Smith back then when it was a partnership. And that was One Liberty Plaza.
It's a really cool part of town. And, like, I got to walk around a little bit. Like as you said, I've never really spent time there. So just it was so cool seeing, like, you know, Charles Schwab or, you know, all these companies that I recognize just right there. And it makes you realize how many people are, like, in the buildings, like anthills all around you, you know? but, yeah, I got to explore a little bit. I saw Hamilton. Highly recommended if you have an opportunity to go see that on Broadway. But I also I was very inquisitive this weekend. Like, everything that I saw just made me think. And my sister lives in Brooklyn in Bed-Stuy, and every day I had to take the train from Bed-Stuy into Manhattan. And I just was noticing things on the train, just the diversity, you know, what people were wearing. Everyone has those AirPods, the Apple AirPods. I need to get some of those. But then even within the city where my sister works, she works for a company called TaskRabbit, which is just a really cool company that you and I were talking about.
Yeah.
It's like a tech kind of startup firm based out of San Francisco.
Called TaskRabbit.
TaskRabbit, yes. And they were acquired by IKEA, I think, about a year ago. But what TaskRabbit does is it allows you to put, you know, your phone, you have an app, or you can go online, name your task that you need. So if you forgot, you know, my sister told me she forgot a package at work one day. She works in Chelsea but lives in Brooklyn. So she forgot a package at work, so opened up this TaskRabbit app and was able to hire somebody on demand, kind of like Uber for people, to bring her package. And they do that now, you know, for the cleaning services, dog walking services. Hey, I left my backpack here. Can you bring it to me? And I just can't imagine living in that city without that kind of technology and how different it must have been 5, 10 years ago.
Yeah, well, 20 years ago, well, maybe 15 years ago, we were talking to a company in India that would provide you with a personal assistance, and it was called brickworks.com. They're really fantastic. And you would have an Indian person who was your assistant to do anything that you wanted. I mean, if you needed to buy flowers for your wife, then they would do that. Or if she needed to buy flowers for you, they would handle it. And now it's called TaskRabbit, and they're everywhere.
Yeah, they're expanding. I think this past week they launched somewhere in Canada. I think they're looking to London. And in the U.S., I think it's the bigger cities. Like, they're based out of San Francisco, have a big presence in New York. I think there's a big presence in Texas. So we'll see if we eventually get it here. But it's cool. Like, all the people that you're hiring have been, you know, background checked, I think, and kind of vetted through TaskRabbit. So you're just kind of hiring somebody on the spot, on demand. So that was cool. And then she works in a space called The Alley, which is a bunch of other tech startups. So I was kind of looking around and I saw this other one.
So wait. She works in The Alley. What is that?
The Alley is a shared workspace in Chelsea.
Okay.
You know, they rent.
We have one in town. We have one in town here. Yeah. So Gather, you can go in and rent an office.
Mm-hmm.
You can just go in and have coffee and be with other people that are working and bring your computer in. And,
right. And she has access on the weekends, so we stopped in there because we needed a break off our feet. So I was kind of looking around. Everything is glass, so, you know, nothing's really super private. So I was looking around to see what else is in there. And there was this one company, I think it was called Hooch, and it was it's like a subscription.
Hooch.
It's a subscription that you buy, and you get, like, one cocktail a day from bars that are associated with it. So, if you know, all these fancy craft cocktails, I guess you show your pass, and you get one a day, and I thought that was an interesting concept.
And it's free.
As well. You have a membership.
Okay, you sign, you become a member. Okay.
Yeah. So things like that. What else did I see? You could order on demand on Broadway. You could pre-order from your phone your drinks.
Now, all right, tell me about that.
So when you're sitting in your seat,
or
I guess when you're walking.
So you don't have to wait for the person to come by. Where is the...
Yeah, you can pre-order your drink up at the counter, so you don't have to wait in line. A lot of cool things. I'm excited to go back eventually. But I thought I was going to be really scared and, you know, kind of overwhelmed. And it was definitely overstimulating at some points. But overall, I thought it was really cool.
But it was the first time you said you felt like you were in the public.
Yes, I've never felt that I was in such a public place before than the train. You know, if you're at the grocery store, you think maybe that's public. But think of all the people that, you know, maybe you don't live around that can't afford to shop at that grocery store. Or when you're in the airport, you feel public, but it's cutting out all those people that either fly private or, you know, can't afford to fly. So in the train, I just kind of felt like I was on the highway on 95 stuck in traffic, but instead of everyone being in cars, they're standing right next to you in a little train car or subway car. So I don't know, it just got me thinking a lot. My brain couldn't stop running, and actually, I didn't have any games on my phone, so I couldn't, you know, pass the time. Everyone's staring at their cell phones. I didn't have time to just, you know, or I had too much time, and I didn't have anything to do, so I actually was just writing notes to myself about things that I observed.
Great idea. So, I mean, because just those really piqued my interest today. There's got to be so much cool stuff out there that, you know, when you think about DWA, what if we had a service here where it was, you know, we talked, it was your idea, query and analyst, what did you
call
it?
Kind of like an analyst on demand.
You know, analyst on demand.
Built into our app where if you had a question or if you wanted to have a conversation with an analyst, you would just kind of hit a button and it would get sent to us and, you know, we would take it and contact you in a way that you would want to be contacted. So that's, I think a lot of people my age hate picking up the phone and calling. And I think a lot of people probably don't like asking for help. So I think if there's a way to kind of hide behind your screen, ask for help, in a tech kind of way with your phone or whichever way, I don't know. It's something to think about.
It's amazing. I would love, you know, anyone listening to this, I would love ideas on what you think DWA could do to the term that you used, become more modern.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Interesting. Well, I love listening to those types of things. What are we going to talk about as far as stocks are concerned? One of the things that we have, excuse me, Nike.
Yeah, we looked at Nike's chart. It looks like I was reading through just kind of some today's news, and they were listed as a notable loser. So I pulled up the chart, and I think it's a beautiful picture.
Yeah, exactly. Isn't it funny how, you know, the media looks at us as a notable loser today, and we look at it and it just pulled back, you know, and all this hubbub about, what's his name, Kaepernick, that meant nothing to Nike. Nike was in a strong uptrend since the stock was at 51. The most beautiful chart, I mean, if you want a Rembrandt painting of a chart of a stock, this is it. Mm-hmm. Come look at it.
Yeah,
and it had nothing to do with Kaepernick or anybody else or increasing this or that. They were already doing extremely well, and they still are. This pullback, you'll see it right here, is an opportunity.
Yeah, it looks like they had earnings. Earnings were announced yesterday. So I think this is an attractive pullback for new positions. It's been trading in a positive trend for over 9 years now. Five for fiver. And you were talking about, you know, your probe trading concept here.
Yeah, my probe trading concept on Nike is, the probe trading is really all about how people traded commodities 100 years ago. And commodities are large contracts. And, you know, a person would buy one contract, and especially if you're a point and figure person, and you're trying to catch a trend. So instead of buying 10 at one time, you'd buy one, watch the stock. If it gave a sell signal, you would sell it and go right back in on the next buy signal. Reason for that is only a certain number of commodities. You know, you couldn't say, okay, I'm stopped out of this stock. I'm going to get one of the other 10,000 that are trading out there, so I'll leave the stock. You stay with it. If you're going to buy corn, you're going to buy corn, and you're going to find that trend. Once you find the trend and the point and figure chart gives another buy signal, then you add a contract. This is 100 years ago. And you continue adding but raising your stop to the first sell signal that happens. You can do that with stock. And if you look at Nike here, you would end up owning 1,000 shares of Nike starting out with 100 shares. And you haven't even gotten your first sell signal in that stock yet. You know, so it's so interesting. Different ways you can do things. Let's look at Netflix. NFLX is the symbol. Pull that up and take a look at the $5 per chart. I think, no, if you look at let's go to $5 per chart. If I don't...
To do that, you would just click on the finger. 5 underneath other scales on the left-hand side of the chart.
Yeah.
Change that scale.
And this came right back up, yeah. So I was apparently, okay, I'm on the $5. Looks great. About to give another breakout at 380, rising bottoms. It's the picture that you're looking for. So Nike is something I might look at here. And there's other ways you can play this too, is instead of just owning the stock, what might you do?
I know what you're gonna say.
Go ahead.
You're gonna make me stop.
I feel like Mr. Wizard. Mr. Wizard and his young student.
Buy the calls.
Yes. That's another alternative. Mm-hmm. Would be to buy the calls here. So I'm not saying you have to do that, but you could look at Nike and say, stock's 375. Instead of owning the stock, I'm going to buy the call. But one thing that you do with options is never over-leverage. Never buy more calls than you would have appetite for the underlying round lots of the underlying stock. So if you typically wouldn't buy more than 100 shares of Netflix at this level, then you only buy one call, plain and simple. Now, there are other things that can be done, which would be called a bull spread. Do you know that one?
No. Explain that one.
Okay. I could buy the stock here at 375, and let's just pick a number out, simultaneously sell the 390 call against it. So it's kind of like a covered right, but it's called a bull spread because you're bullish on this. And the difference between this right price minus your debit is your potential gain. Another thing that you could do is sell the put uncovered. Well, what does that mean? You have to have an account that qualifies for uncovered options, but selling an uncovered put is an identical strategy to a covered right. And I won't take the time to explain exactly why, but it's the same thing as a covered right. So there are option equivalents. You could even consider creating synthetic stock. Now, how do I create synthetic stock? Oh, my Lord. Well, it's called a forward conversion. I could buy, I could sell the put, the 375 put on Netflix, take the proceeds, and let's say buy the 380 call or 390 call or whatever, and or buy the 375 call. I'm short the put, long the call, creates a synthetic position. It's kind of a forward conversion. But this is not designed to be an option class. But there are all kinds of different things that you can do rather than just owning the stock, because this is $375. Many people wouldn't have $37,500 to buy the underlying stock, but there are other alternatives. It's kind of fun.
That's fascinating.
I'm going to take you aside, and I'm going to teach you options.
I need to.
Do you hear my phone ringing in my ears?
I can.
This kills me. I have hearing aids. And they're Bluetooth. So the phone is on my desk way out there. Somebody just called me, and it's going into my ears. And it's probably one of those, yeah, it's a 400 line. Junk.
Silence.
So what else do we have today?
We have a change in the First Trust Focus 5 today.
Okay.
Sold FTXO, which is the First Trust NASDAQ Bank ETF, and we added in FBT, which is the First Trust NYSERDA Biotech Fund.
Biotech, yeah, biotech has been doing extremely well. And in today's report, what are we talking about? DWA Spotlight.
Today we talked about the new sector, the communication services sector.
Okay.
We talked about that a little bit last time. Effective the 24th, S&P reorganized its global industry classification standards, which GICS is short for. So GICS removed the telecom sector and added in communication services. The last major change was 99 when they added real estate, separate from financials.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah. So what's going to happen here is... I'm just going to see some shifts in some tech and some consumer discretionary names. So the several big names that have been classified include Facebook, Netflix, Google, PayPal. And out of all the FANG stocks, only Apple remains in the technology sector.
Interesting.
Amazon remains in the consumer discretionary. But the Facebook, Netflix, Google, and PayPal have been moved to the XLC, the communication services.
Okay, that's interesting.
There's only two ETFs, to my knowledge, right now that focus on that sector, and that's going to be one from State Street and one from Vanguard. VOX, which used to be the telecom ETF, is now the communication services with Vanguard, and then XLC is the new the communication services select sector spider fund that launched in June in anticipation of this change.
Cool. Here's one of the things that DWA Spotlight, MTCH. Do you see that? Match Group.
Oh, yep, on the roster.
Is that the one that you recommended to me that is full of millennial things?
No, that was MILN.
MILN, okay, MILN.
But Match is, that's like internet dating.
Okay, it's, mm-hmm. Internet dating, I love this.
Tinder and all, you know, those apps, dating apps. Match.com was like the original, you know, like online dating service.
Wow.
So Match Group owns a whole bunch of, I think, related.
Well, take a services. Look at the ETF that you had recommended to me, and I bought it. Global X Millennial Thematic ETF. When you pull that up on our site here, just look at the second line down. It's in blue, and it says all holdings. And touch that, and all the holdings will come up, and you'll see these are all kind of like you, 20, 30-somethings, mm-hmm. You know, stuff you like.
Match is a holding. Look at that.
There is so much interesting stuff. You know, one of the things I love to do is look at ETFs, ETF that I happen to like, and then I'll look at the holdings, and then I'll press on there, create a portfolio. So right here, I just put all those 20s and 30-somethings stocks in there, Netflix, PayPal, Twitter, Nike, Square, Costco, wholesaling, and then it says create a portfolio. Touch that, and your portfolio is automatically created. Then you can manipulate it and do all kinds of other things. Create a matrix, a normal distribution, everything you can think of to really understand that portfolio just by touching that one thing, create a portfolio.
Yeah, I think last time we talked about it, you and I were looking at the micro cap ETF.
Yes.
And I picked out a few ideas there myself for my own personal portfolio.
It's interesting that you wouldn't have otherwise seen.
Yeah.
Where you let technology do the work for you. Oh man, it's getting so interesting with technology.
It is.
I love listening to you because you keep your eyes open and you really understand what's going on in this world. I mean, I'm a little bit older, so I look to you to tell me the cool stuff's going on.
I'm trying.
But I love the technology. I absolutely love it. Yep. All right, Sarah, this was great. This was your podcast today.
Well, thank you.
You did fantastic. We'll talk to you next week.